I'll control the same.
We commenced our operations in 1985, and we are the largest aluminium die casting player in India and the largest two-wheeler, three-wheeler auto component company in India. So mainly our product categories are suspension, braking, transmission, and we have acquired Maxwell in the year 2022, and with the advanced electronic, the BMS product, and we are also leading four-wheeler aluminium die casting player in Europe. So for financial strength,
that they would have seen on our filings. Yeah.
Yes. We have 19 operational plants in India and 12 in overseas, majorly in Germany and Italy, and 5 DSIR approved R&D facilities, 2 tech centers in Italy, and we have a 29-acre unique proving ground in Aurangabad Test Track Center. And we have 59 patents and 39 design registrations and 81 patent applications currently.
So this, what we're trying to say here is that we have R&D facilities. We try to offer to our OEM customers the best technology that's available in our range of products, which is why we import technology from. So we have technical collaborations with European, American companies, and we bring the technology to India. And then what we do in our R&D centers is we further develop those technologies in terms of making them more India specific, making them more cost competitive, making them more suitable for the specific vehicle model. So that's the kind of thing we do in the R&D centers. And we have spent a lot on R&D in terms of having the best test rigs. We have something called a road load data acquisition, where we set up a sensor on a vehicle and send the vehicle for a long drive on actual roads so that the road conditions can get captured and they can be simulated onto our test rigs. This is where we are capturing our strategic priorities. What we are trying to say here is that, as you all would know by now, that in two-wheelers and three-wheelers, we are the dominant, the largest auto ancillary company in the country. And we intend to capitalize further on our leadership position in this respect. And so we would be continuing to offer, like I said, the latest technologies to the OEMs. In many of our products today, the competition is not homegrown companies, but MNCs operating out of India. For instance, in brakes, our competitor is Brembo, which is an Italian company. In ABS, it is Bosch and Continental. In clutches, it is FCC Japan and XAD Japan. So what we have here is that we are bringing technology into the country in two-wheeler, three-wheeler, and offering it to the OEMs. And that has led to our profitable growth and strong position on the two-wheeler, three-wheeler side. We'll continue to do that, but that there we have a lot of positive inertia now. All OEMs in the traditional two-wheeler space are our customers today. Several of the EV new age OEMs are also our customers today. What we will be consciously doing from here is to develop a focus on the four-wheeler market, where in Europe we are strong with almost the entire revenue of our European operations coming from four-wheelers. But in the India business, our four-wheeler presence up till now is rather limited. It is our focus area and therefore an internal and externally communicated target that by FY30, we should reach 45% of our consolidated revenue from four-wheeler business. Again, on EVs and hybrids. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, please.
So, did you talk a bit about your technology sharing model? So, you said that you bought technology and you borrow technology.
Yes.
So how does that model work?
Yeah.
Is that, do you buy in a lump sum or is it?
It would be a mix of both. It would be a mix of both, where we pay a lump sum as well as pay a revenue-based fee. No, we don't disclose such finer details.
Those are the single digit numbers, right?
Oh. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
far as technology is concerned, that's much higher in four-wheelers compared to two-wheelers.
Yeah, see, we'll have to pay the market price. I mean, if we are buying a product which is less available and more in demand, we would have to pay the price. There's no doubt about that. And in four-wheeler, in two-wheelers, when we did the suspension technology agreement with KTM, we had already had a history of doing suspension technology agreements with Pioneer. Yeah, so we were it was kind of an incremental arrangement. In four-wheelers, it is going to be something new. But having said that, it is clearly our focus area that we should be stronger than we are in the four-wheeler, Indian four-wheeler market today. And for that, yes, there would be a need to pay for technology or to do a JV. It could, instead of being doing a technology arrangement, it could come by way of a JV or by way of an M&A.
How long? You were
I mean, these are individual contracts. Each contract differs.
No, no, so what I am asking that, you know, from your OEM's point of view, there is a marketplace also, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, say you went to get the, you know, get this this technology by paying up your, you know, the rev share or something.
Yeah.
Some structure like that, right? I mean, we know that from the OEM's point of view, they're also, they will push you down the road to, you know, to bring the pricing down, you know, give you productivity gains, right? Or, you know, other newer players, you know, can also come up, right, and offer the similar products at a lower price.
So not everybody has the connect with OEMs. So today, by being a casting supplier to four-wheeler OEMs, we already have established a connect with them. And these are long trusted relationships. So we have an edge over a new player, an absolutely new player. Also, if we were to do a product like, say, suspensions or alloy wheels or brakes for four-wheelers, yes, we need to import technology for four-wheelers. But we have experience on the same product, long experience on the same product for two-wheelers. So it would be a natural extension for us, while for somebody new, it would be a totally new line of business. Yeah, other focus areas is to grow our EV and hybrid business and to establish a stronger presence in the aftermarket, where currently our standalone turnover, 6% of that goes into the aftermarket. We would like to take it to 10%. In electric vehicle and hybrid space, we've done phenomenally well in our European business. Our new order wins in Europe total to 240 million, which is very close to our annual revenue for the last few years. Which means that in Europe, if there's extensive electrification of vehicles, our revenue is still protected because we already have won orders. So future orders that we win from here would only add to the revenue there. In India, we have...
There are different ways you can look at this on a per vehicle basis and things like that. EVs probably a higher repair content, but for... you know, if you take an industry-wide view, they've been, you know, we're starting to see more negative data points on the EV side, even if it's just stretching out the revenue timeline, right? So just wanted to get your thoughts on what you are seeing in your...
When you say negative data points, you mean to say that there are less castings being used in EV? Is that...
No, it's just EV as a whole. I'm not speaking. I just want to know...
You mean to say the pace of electrification?
Yeah, the CapEx programs of the bigger American OEMs, they are dual EV, they are pulling back.
Okay.
Right, so we look at things like, let's look at what Tesla is saying, look at some, you know, look at what Toyota is saying. Yeah, this is a very industry comment, it's not specific.
See, we already have ICE orders, and we are producing and selling worth 250 million for the last few years. Our European revenue has been, despite the fall in the new car registrations in Europe since 2019, we are seeing that our revenue has hovered very close to that 250 million mark. And a lot of this revenue is coming from ICE vehicles. Yeah, if ICE continues to be a dominant force in the market, our revenue is in any case there from these models. What we keep What we are trying to say here is that the apprehension many investors had was that when things move towards EVs, how would Endurance Europe perform? So our answer to that is that we have a lot of order wins in the EV and hybrid space. And if these models actually succeed at the cost of ICE models, we are still in a good space. I'll just very briefly touch upon our corporate structure. You see that our India corporate structure just comprises of the listed company. So all our operations literally are part of the listed company. And we have Maxwell as the only other Indian entity where we have 56% stake and the original founders of Maxwell have 44% stake. And we have a line of sight and an agreement to go up to 100% stake. So very soon, or not very soon, in the next 3 to 4 years, Maxwell would be a 100% subsidiary of Endurance. In Germany also, we have a clean corporate structure, single legal entity. All the plants are housed in this legal entity. In Italy, we have an SPV structure because in Italy, we've done a number of acquisitions over the years. The initial acquisitions were in the casting and machining of aluminium die casting space. But the subsequent acquisitions have been more on the two-wheeler space. So just like in India, where we have a strong two-wheeler business and we are trying to grow our four-wheeler business, in Europe, we have a strong four-wheeler business and we are diversifying into two-wheeler, particularly from the aftermarket perspective. We've paid 135 crores to get 51% and another 7 crores to take it to 56%. So the outgo for the remaining 44% is again performance linked. So the founders would be with us for the next 4 more years. And they have to ensure that the promised results are delivered by the company in order to get their full payout. I think we've discussed that we have 19 plants in India, 11 in Europe, which is Germany and Italy. So this talks about our journey where we are talking about, I think we've covered in the previous slide that in Europe, we've done a number of acquisitions over the years through Italy and the Maxwell acquisition happened in India. This is our technology and production journey. I think I have talked to this group about the fact that we've done technology agreements and we have set up R&D centers. So that is all covered here. And our 19 plants in India and plants in Germany and Italy are also covered here. This presentation as such is there on the website, so you'll be able to gain access it later as well. But we've kind of covered our journey here. This is the unique proving ground, the test track that we talk about. So it has got multiple surfaces, primarily for two-wheelers and three-wheelers. So it has high-speed surfaces, high-inclined surfaces, rough surfaces to test our suspensions or smooth surfaces to test our brakes. You know, and these twists and turns to test the ride maneuverability and things like that. So this is quite unique. No other auto ancillary has a proving ground of this scale. We are a complete solutions provider because we partner with the OEM from the design and development stage using our R&D facilities, our test rigs and the test track. We are able to test and validate our products. We manufacture them in our 19 plants in India and another 12 overseas. And then we focus on ensuring delivery to the customer in time all the time. And the aftermarket, after sales service is in the form of our presence in the aftermarket, supporting the OEM in their presence in the aftermarket. And also in case there is any field issue, our R&D team gets into the root cause analysis along with the OEMs. These are our legacy products. Some of you would be aware that we started as an aluminium die casting company and subsequently we have started manufacturing alloy wheels. We've done suspensions, which is here you can see the rear shock absorbers and the front forks. These are pictures of the clutches for two-wheelers and three-wheelers. And these are brake assemblies, the disc brake and the disc brake assembly. This is again a brake related part. So these are what Endurance has been known for. What we have added in the recent past is two-wheeler ABS modulators. In 2021, we started producing ABS. This we have done in technology collaboration with BWI, which is a Chinese company which bought Delphi's assets in the US. And this is a new product that we launched with our own engineers designing and patenting the products. This is the drive shaft. The BMS we got is a new product by acquiring Maxwell. Aluminium forgings, we started, again, this is a technology collaboration product. Our technical partner here is FGM of Italy. And we started this as a backward integration project because if you see these front forks, these parts over here, these clamps are aluminium clamps. And these aluminium clamps are forged parts. We were initially, when we were supplying, say, up to 10,000 units of inverted front forks every month, we did not need to produce these clamps in-house. But today we've touched 40,000 units per month. So that's a sizable volume of forgings that we would have to otherwise buy. But we now are able to make them in-house by putting up our own forging presses. This is a very fast growing production plant for us because our inverted front fork business has been growing. And also we've been getting third party orders for aluminium forgings. Yeah. I would say more of design. There is some material science. There's some material science, but it is more of design. See, material science comes, we have material specialists in our R&D centers, but that we don't try to develop new materials. That would be a very core R&D function. Yeah, we don't try to develop new material. What our material specialists do is to do root cause analysis. So if something has happened which shouldn't have happened on a certain part, we have material specialists to do the root cause analysis that in this particular kind of oil or in this particular kind of polymer, yeah, there was a certain problem which could lead to a problem in our clutch or our suspensions. Yeah, so that's where our material science specialist comes. We don't try to research and develop a new material as such. Yeah, it's more on product design. It's more on testing and validating the product. So our R&D centers, through the test rigs and through interpreting data from the road and translating that data into the test rig, they are able to simulate the conditions and they are able to read the behavior of our product on the vehicle.
So what do you pay in terms of?
The initial design and to use the technical partner's expertise when he looks at a vehicle. And so if we are doing a vehicle of a particular structure and then we go for a heavier vehicle or a lighter vehicle, yeah, or a kind of, based on the vehicle design, the vehicle weight. So in alloy wheel, we don't have a technology partner. We are doing it ourselves. Yeah. But our R&D center in alloy wheels, there the focus is to ensure that when we try to do a new design for an alloy wheel is a very safety critical part because if there's a collision, the alloy wheel shouldn't crack in any way. Yeah. So those are the kind of tests that have to be done. So it has to, simulated road condition, firstly, the alloy wheel should run without any deformities, and in a collision condition, it shouldn't crack. The process technology, yes. For instance, in forgings, where we have zero experience of manufacturing, or we had zero experience of manufacturing, it was our first forging press. So FGM, when they, our agreement with FGM was not only for the product design support, but also for the process technology. But if we were to do a suspension assembly today, and we are already doing, say, for 490cc, and we do a technology tie-up with KTM for a 1390cc suspension, we don't need process technology because it's ultimately a similar kind of assembly. We need the product design from them.
So what do you
The recently added products, I don't have it mixed, but I'll tell you broadly what has...
Percentage term.
I don't have percentage term. Okay. I can tell you broadly what is mature and what is nascent. Yeah, ABS is mature in the sense that we did, we started in September 2021. We set up a capacity of 400,000 and we were full up, which is why we have expanded the capacity to 640,000. So this is a mature, recently added product. Competition for ABS is Bosch and Continental. There's no Indian player in this. Drive shaft. Bajaj and Royal Enfield. Yeah, three-wheeler drive shaft. This is not as mature as ABS, but we have seen good traction here as well. We have orders from Bajaj and Mahindra. We are targeting more orders from TVS. Yeah, BMS as a product, it's a mature product because Maxwell has been, our subsidiary Maxwell has been running the BMS for 5-6 years. But then the customers for Maxwell have been the smaller peripheral EV manufacturers. They have orders from HMCL, Royal Enfield, Hero Electric, Greaves. So these are the big OEMs from which they have orders. There's a good amount of supply happening to Hero Motorcorp. Yeah, sadly for us, Hero Electric is not doing well after all that saga that happened in terms of their incentives. But going forward, we can see that a lot of contribution will come from Hero Motorcorp and Royal Enfield. Apart from the lesser known EVs, where the volumes are less, but the prices obviously are better because those are small volumes, small tenure contracts. While Hero Motorcorp, Royal Enfield, these are long line of sight, large volume contracts. Yeah, aluminum forgings again is mature because we've been doing this for more than 2 years now. We've been adding multiple presses because our inverted front fork business has been growing, which meant that we needed more forgings and we've been adding the presses. The brakes for higher CC vehicles, this is also mature because earlier we were not able to penetrate 200cc plus category and now we are able to do that in a sustained manner. This we have been able to penetrate fast enough because our subsidiary in Europe, Grimeca, they have been supplying 200cc plus brakes. And this is an extension of the cast business. So for us to cast in any shape is fine, even if it is for an EV or a non-auto application. So in all of this, if you see, probably the three-wheeler drive shaft is less mature while the others are pretty much mature.
So what is the
$5.5 million wheels is where we are headed. We are already at 4.5 million wheels.
So we have a tension, if you can share some light, you know, on a broader conceptual points, right? So what we have seen is, yeah, you know, broadly, right, we have a couple of players who have been very entrenched, right, on aluminum casting on the two-wheeler side, right, like you do, guys,
yes.
Right? Right, but they have not been able to enter the four-wheeler side,
yeah.
Right, that is easily,
uh-huh.
Right? Right, so is there something about the kind of products that are sort of, you know,
I get your question. So you're saying if players have been there in the two-wheeler casting space, yes, they have not been able to make their mark on the four-wheeler.
Yeah, so what's the missing piece or what's the complexity? Is it an aspect, you know, is the technology to make larger? Is it something different? Or
yeah,
the matter of customer relationship, or what is the...
So it would be a mix of all. So for us, if you see, yeah we have roughly 33% of our endurance, of our standalone turnover goes into aluminium die casting, out of which around 7-8% goes into four-wheelers. So you can say one-fourth of our aluminium die-casting business is four-wheelers. And we supply to Hyundai, Kia, Mahindra, Tata in India. And we export to Getrag in Europe. Okay, so we have been present in, so Hyundai ke liye we had set up the plant in Chennai, I think more than 10 years ago. So we have been present in the four-wheeler side in India for a pretty long time. In Europe, we only supply to four-wheelers. Yeah. So what is it that we have which some of the smaller die-casting companies, we have competition in the form of, say, Sundaram Clayton or Jaihind. Yeah, these suppliers also supply to four-wheelers. So what people like us and others in our bracket, what is it that we have? We have our own tool room. So we design the dies and we manufacture the dies ourselves. Yeah, we also have an R&D center. Although this is a build-to-print product. Yeah, so the design of the product, we don't have to finalize. That comes from the OEM. We have to design the aluminium flow. So we have engineers who work on software, where they decide the aluminium temperature, aluminium flow. And for instance, if this is the shape of a casting, this is a large and complex casting, which some of the smaller players will not be able to make with the level of accuracy that is required. And in order to achieve this accuracy, before the production is launched, a lot of our R&D engineers would be working on aluminium flow, meaning at what temperatures it should flow, at what speed the flow should happen, at what speed the cooling should happen. Yeah, what would be the appropriate aluminium inlets? So the liquid aluminium has to have a single inlet and it would have multiple outlets. So the extra aluminium would flow out from various parts of this design. So all those flow related aspects have to be pre-planned.
So your market standing from the four-wheeler aluminium casting point of view, right? Where will you say that?
Yeah.
For India only.
Yeah.
Right. So where would you be, let's say?
We are right at the top because we are doing all kinds of complex parts for Tata, Mahindra, Hyundai, Kia.
In terms of size.
So in terms of size, Maruti is the largest player. Yeah, and we are not present with Maruti. So there would be certain players who are Maruti focused. Yeah, you as investors, you won't like their balance sheet. But technically, they are as good as us when it comes to delivering the product.
Casting and suspension, what is the capacity? What is the utilization? What are the plans?
So for...
Like for Hero specifically, we have put, I think, suspension on brake.
So
how is the utilization of that?
Sure. So our casting utilizations are pretty high. Yeah. In fact, we are adding capacities. So recently, as we are seeing more and more traction on the EV side, so we've got scooter casting orders from Bajaj and from HMSI, where we saw that there's a capacity constraint. We are adding capacities there. Yeah, casting otherwise is fairly well utilized. In suspensions, like you said, Shirish, the HMCL focused plant at Halol and the HMSI focused plants at Sanand and Kolar, they continue to be underutilized because these OEMs, when we set up these plants or planned these plants between 5 and 8 years ago, there was a lot more promise in the volumes in the industry in general and for these OEMs, particularly HMSI. When we had got the HMSI order, HMSI was the fastest growing OEM. So scooters were doing exceedingly well at that time and HMSI was doing better than the others. So to that extent, the delivery versus promise has been worse. But we have to take these things in the stride because OEMs would face variability in volumes.
Bajaj market share going up. Are we able to utilize those capacities for Bajaj?
No. For Bajaj, we have traditionally been large volume suppliers and close to plant suppliers. So their Maharashtra needs are met from our Aurangabad plant. The Pantnagar needs are met from the Pantnagar plant. We have not tried to supply Bajaj from Karnataka or Gujarat. But TVS, the new suspensions orders, those we'll be doing from Karnataka, which was otherwise a HMSI-focused plant. Yeah, then some of the EV players like Ather and all, we are trying to put into these lower utilized plants.
Categories where you have done acquisition of Atlas, say, and Mimica. So now are you self-reliant on technology part in those product categories?
Yes, in Grimeca, like I said, that because of Grimeca, we were able to penetrate 200cc plus brakes. Yeah, this has already happened. With Adler, we would be doing this. It's reaching a conclusion, but not yet. But this technology which we are offering for 200cc plus vehicles in India, this is something that Adler uses for its production in Europe.
And some of these newer product categories, so most of them would be tech partnership model, right? So how should one think of
So BMS was an M&A model.
Yeah.
Yeah, Driveshaft was an internally developed product. So our engineers did it from scratch. Forgings and ABS, we took external help. So ABS with BWI US and forgings with FGM Italy. And this was our own acquired company. So Grimeca gave us the for us, for third parties.
I think in India, it's a large, fast growing market because we have spoken to other 4G players and they sort of tell us that, you know, we keep looking at aluminium 4G, but it's still a
No, so for us, we first have started as an internal use. So the front inverted front fork market for us is large. 40,000 inverted front forks a month into three forged parts because you have three forged parts here. So that's 120,000 to our internal consumption here. So we've been adding press after press. I think we've told what capacity we have. No, our presentation mein, quarterly presentation in this quarter's presentation. We had given the update about the fact that we are adding capacity.
BTS.
Okay. So it's there on our website, our quarterly presentation. It's not in this one. Yeah. Yeah. So, do you want me to kind of stop here if there are more questions, or you want me to continue and we can keep having questions?
What we can do is, spend a bit of time on the four-wheeler side, right? Just here. So what I got from the broad revenue share that you spoke about is that your, you know, the revenues from India four-wheelers, right? Yeah, you know, on the aluminium casting side, it would probably be in the 800-900 crore zip code, right?
Less than that, we are less than 10% of, say, an 8,000 crore revenue.
Yeah. Maybe 700 crore, right? But you are working with a large number of customers, except Maruti, probably everybody you're working with.
Like, not really. Large, we don't have the said, Toyota, Honda.
All the large players you
yeah, Hyundai, right? Kia, Mahindra, Tata.
Tata. Generally, yeah. You know, aluminium cast sort of product is used in the premium cars, right? So
no, it's used in all cars.
It's used.
Yeah.
Okay. So broadly, but here I see you're given the pictures of three products. So what is so are you, you know, going product by product and then, you know, what's your path to...
Let me come here. While I have given three products,
you make
these two are nothing.
These are nothing.
Yeah, so what we have is aluminium die casting, of which gearbox housing is one shape. Yeah, so there are other shapes which we have covered in the European part of the presentation. So here you will see that there are various die cast shapes. For instance, in EV, there are multiple shapes that go into an EV. Or in a transmission of an ICE, there are multiple shapes that go in. Yeah, there are structural parts which can be cast in aluminium. There are engine parts that could be cast in aluminium. So, in that chart, while I've given you three products, it is basically aluminium die casting and some tertiary products. So today in India, we do only aluminium die casting.
So you are largely making this gearbox type of product.
We are largely making aluminium die casting. It can be in any shape. Gearbox is just one example which we have put in here.
Got it. So generally, the aluminium die casting, market, the way it works is that you get a, drawing. And then, you have, the way you describe it, then your job is not to design that product.
That's right.
Right. And then you are sort of figuring out what is the best way to get that cast done.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, could you give us a sense, right, that what is sort of your wallet share from just an aluminium die casting point of view in the four wheeler players?
No, I don't have that number. Interesting question, but I don't have that number.
Right. Or some sort of general comments you could make that is this a market where OEMs are making it in, themselves and they are largely outsourcing, or it is an outsourced market, where it's largely done by...
The casting is outsourced. The casting is outsourced. The debate that we have with certain OEMs is that once after the casting is done, for instance, in Bajaj or in Hyundai, we use a lot of VMCs and HMCs to machine the product.
Ah.
So it could be surface flatness ke liye, I don't know how you, there could be a buffing operation or there could be a hole drilling operation. Yeah, these are operations done in our, mainly in the VMCs, the vertical machining centers, and sometimes the HMCs. So we have a number of such machines and we like to take orders where we have to cast the material and machine the material. Some OEMs prefer to do the machining in-house, either because they have already invested in CapEx or they already have a team of people.
You said that Maruti has certain vendors where you would not like their financials.
Yes.
Because the machining is not done by them. They are just doing the casting.
Yes.
I see. Okay. So then the right question is not who else can do the casting, but who has the casting plus machining, sort of competency that are doing it, right? So, is your sense that is that a very, are there many players who exist in that, of that kind, of
no,
this character?
Excuse me. Sorry. So we have, I don't know all the players, but I know Sundaram Clayton does it for various four-wheeler companies. So they certainly have the capabilities like we do. Jai Hind, which is a Force Motor Group company in Pune, they have the capabilities. And then there would be some, there is a company called Daisung, which is a Korean company. They also supply to Hyundai. So they would have it. Yeah. So there would be a few. I mean, there would be four or five. Yeah, ASK would be having it. I'm not sure if Rico does machining. Sorry, D?
DRX.
Korean supplier to DRX.
Okay.
This is a slightly different type of question, but again, I mean, I'm coming at this more as an investor and I'm, I've not spent a lot of time just looking at your company. But, going back to the original decision of being a pure play kind of 2-3-wheeler company and next four wheelers, I think you understand that both you've, and it's a horizontal shift. You've got experience, you've got it's an advantage versus somebody coming completely new.
Yeah.
Right, but as opposed to trying to do, moving foot off the value chain, again, it's difficult. You don't have, you'll have to spend a lot of money to R&D and things like that to try to do that. But I'm going back to that decision. Can you almost frame it from us from the standpoint of the, especially thinking about the two-wheeler opportunity in India and the exports, and everything else? from a strategy perspective, was it a very easy decision for you to say, let's push with four wheelers, let's try to get it to 45% of revenues by, 2028? And is part of that because the revenue content for four wheelers is so much higher, such that even if you adjust for this tech, the margin impact from having to pay for the tech, it's still, from a rupee standpoint, absolute rupee perspective, is that opportunity so huge that it was an easy strategic decision, or was it a...
No, so we would, it is a strategic decision to grow in the four-wheeler space. We are not saying that parallelly we will stop looking at the two-wheeler space. In the two-wheeler space, we believe we have a lot of positive inertia in terms of getting into new customers, in terms of cross-selling our products, in terms of going up the value chain. Yeah, so while we are not giving up the 100cc space, we are going up, so for instance, in the suspensions right up to the 1390cc space. So these are things that we would be doing in the two-wheeler space to grow our two-wheeler business, but we believe it does not need enormous focus and attention now as it needed 5 years ago. Yeah, 5 years ago, the situation was that there were key customers where we were either not present at all, or we were present in a very minor way. So 5 years ago, that was the focus, that we had to remedy the situation in that respect. We were there.
People like TVS, right?
TVS, HMSI, and HMCL. We were hardly selling anything very significant to them. Yeah, and so we've kind of crossed from there and we moved ahead. So we believe there's positive inertia in terms of value added products. Yeah, we had brakes, but not 200cc plus. We had brakes, but not ABS. So we've crossed a lot of these hurdles. It's not the end of the road. There's more room to do. There's more work to do on technology, on cost. So all of those we would be doing going forward. But then we have seen that the industry sometimes end consumers, they sometimes favor motorcycles over scooters. They sometimes favor EV over ICE or vice versa. Or there have been many quarters of late where two-wheeler growth has been tepid, but four-wheeler growth has been strong. So we believe that these kind of cycles could come in the future also. And therefore, this focus on EV, focus on four-wheeler, and focus on aftermarket. We believe this would be a much more de-risk profile that we would have.
Sorry, just to get into that, there is management meeting. We can take it offline.
Oh, okay. We are running out of time. Oh, I thought 5 o'clock was the last meeting that you guys are organizing.
No,
okay. Yeah, we can chat on the corridor. So.
Yes, Robert.
Yes. Let me.
But I would like to connect with you separately.
Yeah.
So, do you have your card?
I gave you my card.
This yes. No, you also have my card?
Yeah.
Yeah. Please do connect. Yep. Yeah.
So, what should we want margin? How margin should
come? Let's step out because they want us to step out. Let's just be on the corridor and chat. Just wrap up. Ashma, you can pack your computer but hold mine so that you can transfer the file for audio upload. ये सब मैं रख देता हूँ तू मेरा कंप्यूटर का ध्यान रख बाकी चीज मैं ले देता हूँ
Actually, I think that, you know, we're going to be able to do this thing, but I think that this is our part.